If you have a Bible this morning, I would love for you to find two passages of Scripture. I would love for you to find Matthew chapter number 1, and I would also love for you to find the book of Luke chapter number 2. If I did not dismiss our children to junior church up through the fifth grade, let me do that now. All these kids are thinking, we got a party to go to. Somebody wake that man up and let him dismiss us. Right down here, the staff will catch them. They'll take them right to where the class is. Brother Will is here ready. Up to the fifth grade, if you're visiting and you'd like to go out with them, they got a present for them, a party. They're going to have a great time in the next 30 minutes. See, they're excited to go right there. Find also, if you would, Luke chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 1. And Luke chapters 1 and 2. Now, we have a little habit here at our church. You might not be familiar with this. You may have an electronic Bible, and that's fine. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you, when you find those two passages of Scripture, kind of take your fingers and be able to work your Bible like this. So when we go to the book of Matthew, you'll go to the book of Matthew. And when you go to the book of Luke, you just flip over to the book of Luke. Put something there, because I want to take this morning and I want to preach you a message entitled The Christmas Story. And really and truthfully, I want to narrate to you and preach my way through the Christmas story. We had Christmas with our family, my dad and mom and that side of the family on Thursday night up in West Palm Beach. And my dad has some traditions, and one of the traditions that my dad has is that he never lets us open Christmas presents until he tells us the Christmas story. And so we gathered there, and I think we had 15 grandchildren plus 4 children, their spouses, 8 and 15 is 23, plus my mom and dad. So we had 25 people in this living room. And my dad was standing there, and he had the Christmas story, and he had all the children sitting in front of him. And I was sitting to his right, watching him as he began to tell the story. And you ever have one of those moments when you're listening to someone and then you kind of daydream? Every member of Plantation Baptist Church better say, yes, we've had that. I watch you do it. But I caught myself looking at my dad and looking at the kids sitting down there. And I thought, there is a man passing on legacy to his children. There is a man teaching not only his children, but the generation after them, teaching them the truth of Christmas, teaching them the Word of God. And I was reminded as he was teaching us that and passing it along to us that once he's off the scene and he's with the Lord, we'll know which way to continue to walk. We'll know which way to continue to believe. I don't know about you, but I want my children to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul. If you do, say amen. Amen. I would say to every man in this room, you, sir, should embrace the responsibility of legacy. You, sir, should embrace the responsibility of leading by example. You, sir, should be a professor in your home. And I mean by a professor in your home that you should be the one providing the spiritual leadership for your home. You should be the one standing in front of your children, passing on to them the truth of the gospel. And so my dad told the Christmas story. And I want to tell the Christmas story to you today. I do this annually in our chapels at our school here. And this year we were unable to have that chapel. And I did not know that it was such a highlight for the children until they missed out on it. And so many of them are here today and they'll get to hear it. I hope you learned something from the Christmas story. I would like you to grab an ink pen if you have one and your bulletin there. And I'd like you to write down the passages in the order that I give them. I believe that this will be a neat way for you to narrate the Christmas story back and forth as you go forward in the future there and in passing that on to your children as well. So we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. It's a marvelous verse to begin the Christmas story with because of the impact that this verse has. It has impact because it's a very matter-of-fact verse. It is meticulous, and it is also marvelous. If you pick up in chapter number 1, in verse number 18, Matthew writes, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. I like that because it's matter-of-fact. It's the truth. I would submit to you today that if you're holding a Bible in your hand, you're holding the truth of God's Word. One of the great Christmas messages is that you can trust the Word of God. And so the Word of God is telling you how Jesus came into the world. Now, I know the History Channel will tell you this. I know that the television, CNN, Fox, they all do these things on finding Jesus and so on and so forth. But if you really want to know how Jesus came into the world, then you want to read the Bible. By the way, if you really want to know where Jesus is in this moment, you should read the Bible. The Bible will tell you exactly where Jesus is right now. And you don't have to have some mystery. You can know. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, that's a marital coming together, before they had ever engaged in that, they were just in the espousal process. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Powerful, powerful position we find Mary here, because we find Mary in a position according to the law that was a transgression. If you were to go back to the Old Testament and you were to read about this, if you were engaged in activities that brought about a child before marriage, that was a punishment of an offense that was punishable by death. A stoning would happen. So this was a very, very serious position that Mary finds herself in. She's not married. She's in the espousal part, but she finds herself with child, never having engaged in the benefits of marriage. I always flip from Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18 to Luke chapter 1 in verse 26, because I want you to know how she can find herself with child here. This is the Christmas story. Luke chapter 1, look if you would at verse number 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named," what class? "Nazareth." Now that sixth month there ties back to Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. His mother's name is Elizabeth, and she's pregnant now, going into her sixth month, and she was barren in her womb. She couldn't have children. Many ladies know what that is like. And that she tried and she tried and she tried and she couldn't have a child. And then God blessed her with a child, and God blessed her with the child of John the Baptist. And so in the sixth month of that, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. Look, if you would, at verse 27. What does your Bible say there? A virgin. Oh, listen, if a Bible says anything other than the word virgin there, you've got to be very careful about that Bible. "To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in under her and said, Hail," or "blessed thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou," what's that word? "Among women." Now I want to pause in the Christmas story just a second here, and I want to tell you something. Mary is a beautiful lady. Mary is a lady in the Bible that is highly favored. Mary was a lady in the Bible who was blessed to be able to be the mother of Jesus. But I want you to understand something, that Mary has no righteousness within herself. Mary was born just like you and just like me. She was a sinner who needed to be saved. And there's a lot of emphasis that gets put on Mary at this time. But if you will see in the Christmas story that Mary's always pushing the emphasis to Jesus. Matter of fact, if you turn your page, probably one page, and you come to verse number 47 of chapter number 1, or 46 of chapter 1, the Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my who class? Savior. So Mary had to be saved just like any other woman had to be saved. Look, if you would, at verse 29 of Luke chapter 1. It's back to when the angel visits her. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name," say it out loud, "Jesus." The promise to her in verse number 32 was, "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Oh, if you are a Jewish person in the room, that verse ought to be beautiful to you. The kingdom of God will reign forever and forever. 34, Mary is just like you and me. She has some wonder in her. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How in the world am I going to have a child? I've never known a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called." Now say those three words out loud. The Son of God. I want to pause right here. And I just want to teach you something about the Christmas story. Mary is not the mother of God. Mary is the mother of Jesus. Sometimes you hear Mary referred to as the mother of God. Pastor, help me understand this part of the Christmas story exactly. God is eternal. God had no creation. God has always been. Sometimes spiritual truths are hard to understand and they reach deep within your heart and it kind of brings a perplexity, a little bit fuzzy. I'm not able to understand it. The best way that I can explain it to you is, have you ever had to go to the restroom in the middle of the night? All the old men, raise your hand, okay? All right. So what happens to me is I stumble to find the light switch. And I find the light switch, and when the light comes on, I'm like, oh. And then once I turn off the light and it's black, now I can't see where I'm going. And I'm kind of fumbling my way back to that bed. It's a little bit tricky. Sometimes spiritual truth is just a little bit, kind of takes me off my balance. So just some things you just have to believe by faith. And so by faith, the Bible says that God is eternal. He never was created. He's always been and he always will be. So here's how you understand the Christmas story. Jesus is God. He is the great I am. When Jesus was born on Christmas Day, that was not the day that Jesus was created. Jesus has never been created. He has always been. He's God. But on Christmas Day, God became a man. And He became the God-man. And so Mary did birth in humanity Jesus, the Christ child. But she is not the mother of God. That would put her in a place where she does not belong. And that would strip from God his deity. So never refer to Mary as the mother of God. Refer to her as the mother of Jesus in her humanity. Matter of fact, even Mary called him her God. Verse number 36 of the chapter. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age." There's a message for the old women of the Christmas story right there. She conceived a son in her old age. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." I love verse 37. Could we read it out loud together? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, I love that verse. There's no impossibility with God. Christmas is the miracle season. Our God can do miracles. If you're here today and you need a miracle in your life, God can do that miracle. He is nothing that he cannot do. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me. This is Mary submitting herself to God's will. This is Mary knowing her life is in jeopardy on a human level because she's going to be looked at as transgressing the law, but this is where God would have her. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now at this moment, when she said, be it unto me, the child has been placed within her womb. Now watch. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that would be John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Thank you, Lord. I practiced that. I didn't want to say fruit of the loom, so I was working on it. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, now watch this, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that, what class? Believe. Now you hear the word believe all around the Christmas story. Macy's has made millions on believe. Disney World, so captivated on that world, on that word, they have made trillions and turned the world on the idea of believe, believe, believe. But believe began in the Word of God. And anyone that believes upon the Lord is blessed. And Mary had believed and received the Lord, and Elizabeth has believed, and so she's extending her blessing to those that have believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That's how the Lord Jesus got into the womb of Mary. He was put there by the Holy Spirit of God. I want to say this again. Help me now. Who put Mary in the womb? The Holy Spirit of God. Come back, if you would please, to Matthew chapter number 1. Sometimes you get so concentrated on Mary that we forget about Joseph's response in all of this. I mean, this is his espoused wife. He's getting ready to be married to Mary, and she shows up and tells him now that I'm going to have a child. Now, can you imagine what's going through Joseph's mind? Well, the Bible tells you what's going through Joseph's mind in verse number 19 of chapter number 1. The Bible says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph knew that if Mary was found with child and she was transgressed that law, he knew she would be punished. And Joseph didn't want to, he loved Mary with all his heart. He didn't want to make her a public example. So he was going to put her away privily, and he was going to protect her and care for her. Look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their what class? From their sins. Now look this way, part of the story, I'll just give you a little bit. That's why Christ was born. Christ was born so that he could save you from your sin. So he could save me from my sin. And this was the promise from the beginning. Verse number 22 of Matthew chapter 1 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, this is, he's quoting Isaiah here. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So when you hear Emmanuel in the Christmas story or Christmas songs, you know it means God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. Now look at verse number 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And so once Joseph took Mary to be his wife, they did not live as husband and wife in that privilege until after the baby was born. So we've looked at the promise, we've looked at the placement, we've looked at how Mary and Joseph have reacted. Now come back to Luke chapter 2. This is probably the most famous part of the Christmas story. In verse number 1, you'll know this. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be what, class? Tax. Tax? Pastor, that bad word is in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. So watch how what God does. This is a miracle part of the story. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now there's a country we hear a lot about today. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called what, class? Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Now, powerful is this part of the Christmas story. Here's why this part of the Christmas story is so powerful. Back in the Old Testament, hundreds of years prior to this moment, in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 2, it was prophesied by the prophet that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. I submit to you that had Jesus not been born in Bethlehem, he would not be God. Had Jesus not been born in Bethlehem, you and I would never be able to go to heaven. Had Jesus not been born in Bethlehem, there would be no story. So you know that Jesus was in Nazareth, or his mom and dad were in Nazareth, but God has to get them to Bethlehem because God made a promise, and God does not break his promise. And so to show you how great God is, he used a politician. With God, nothing is impossible. So God moved in the heart of this politician to put a tax on the people. And the taxing required that you went back to your hometown, and that's where you were taxed. So God used that to get them from Nazareth into Bethlehem, because God had told Bethlehem that the Christ child would be born there, and God always keeps his promise. All the prophecies that led up to the Lord were fulfilled. By the way, does anybody know what the name Bethlehem means? One person. How many know, but you're too scared to say it out loud? What's this mean, you big chicken? Bethlehem means house of bread. Later in the book of John, Jesus would stand before the people and he would say, "I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never perish." And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He is the bread of life. God used a taxing to get him all the way over there. Pastor, does God use taxing today? No, they're curses. I understand. Verse number 6. "And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." Pastor, what's a swaddling clothes? Swaddling clothes would be like a gauze. This was a kind of a material that was used to wrap wounds or bandages. This was all they had. And so they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to, say those two words, please, all people. Now, let me tell you something. That announcement's going for you today. The announcement was to all people, and they would be good tidings of all people. Verse number 11, let your eyes read every word on that paper and on that Bible. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you've received him as your Savior, would you say amen this morning? I love that verse. Verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, talking to the shepherds. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, the house of bread, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Oh, the precious heart of a mother. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now look this way, I'm almost done. Most of the narrative of the Christmas story stops right here. This is a moment of celebration. This is the moment that Christ comes into the world. This is the moment that the skies are filled with the angelic host. This is where the praise and the glory and the pomp and the circumstance and just the awesomeness of Christmas. And most people stop here. But just like in our world today, where Christmas is not everybody's favorite time of the year, as awesome as Christmas was, it got awful real quick. And what I'm about to read to you is the awful part of the Christmas story. And it's kind of awful, but I think you will appreciate the love of God and you will see what God did for you when you come back to Matthew chapter 2. Please make your way to Matthew chapter 2. Verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now Herod is a scoundrel. Herod is, to me, a demon-possessed man. I'll show you in a moment. But he's the king of Israel at this time. Verse number 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. What a shame that the leader of Israel didn't even know the Bible of the Israelites. I'll tell you, any people is in trouble when the leadership doesn't know the word of God. Verse number 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This was the promise. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. That's a bold-faced lie. Herod had no desire to worship the Lord. Wait till you see what he wanted to do to the Lord. Verse number 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse number 11. And when they were come into the, what's that word, class? Okay, now this is important because Jesus was born and laid in a what? Manger. And the shepherds came to the manger, but the wise men come to the house. House. Where'd the house come from? Thought there was no room in the inn. Right, exactly. So we're not talking about the same period of time. As a newborn babe, he's laid in the manger. Now they're referring to him as a child, and he's in a house. Now I know we bought a manger scene here, and it's beautiful, and I see them everywhere. And they have Mary and Joseph and the babe, and they'll have the animals and the shepherds. And then most of them, the nativity scenes, include the wise men. But in the Bible, the wise men were never at the manger. They didn't show up until 2 years later. And when they come to meet the Lord, they meet him in a house and they're bringing him gifts. Now, don't get all upset and don't think I've like told you there's no Santa Claus. People are like, they weren't. No, that's okay. In our nativity scene, we have them too because they're part of the story. Just understand, they weren't at the manger. They came later. They came at the house. 2 years. Verse number 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped who? Him. Nowhere in the Bible is Mary ever worshiped. Never. There's only one person who's worthy of worship, and that's Jesus Christ. Okay? And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold for a king, frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, Herod had told the wise men, now when you find the child, come tell me where he is. I want to worship him too, you big fat liar. And so when the wise men are there and they've worshiped the Lord, God, the Father, tells them, don't go back to Herod. So they went to their country another way. Now, this ticked Herod off something fierce. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to do what, class? Destroy him. Aren't you glad God knows all things? Let me tell you something. Pastor, we're here today, but man, our heart is burdened. Pastor, we're here today. Our family's not together. Pastor, we're here today and our finances aren't right. Our health is not right. Pastor, it's Christmas time, but man, if you really knew what I'm thinking about right now, and if you really knew how far away I am in this moment, if you really knew the burden that I'm going through, man, I'm just under a lot. I understand that. Just look me in my eyeballs and believe what I'm about to tell you. God knows you intimately. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your desires. He knows your love. He knows your burdens. He knows everything. And God knew that Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Now, behind Herod's hatred was a diabolical hatred. Last night in one of the services, I told you if you came today, I would tell you how the devil tried to stop Christmas. The devil did not want Jesus to be born. All the way back in the book of Genesis, when it was announced the seed of the woman would come through and redeem the people, and then when it was announced that Abraham, the father of the Jews, and that through him and his seed, all the peoples of the earth would be blessed. In that moment, the world knew that the Messiah would come through the Jewish lineage. And you can go back into Israel's history, and you can find even with Moses, where there was a slaughter of infants, infanticide. And the murder of young children. And all the way till the time that Christ was born, even until the time after he was born, the devil was behind human enablement to be able to murder the Lord. The devil did not want Jesus to go to the cross and to give his life. And the devil thought, if I could kill him as a child, then the prophecies would be would not be able to come to pass, and he would not be God. And it has always been Satan's desire to exalt himself above the Lord. And so he's tried to destroy him. And in the Christmas story, there was a diabolical hatred that went behind Herod and trying to murder Jesus before he could ever go and give his life freely. Now, remember what Jesus said. No man takes my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. He's God.
That's right.
Amen. And so Herod embarks on that. Watch what he does. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. And he sent forth, and he slew, or he killed, all the children that were in Bethlehem. You don't find a lot of songs written about that. You don't find a lot of celebration around that verse. But if you were a parent in the days of Christ and you had a child 2 years old and under, they came and they killed your child. Why? To try to get the one. And Herod said, if I get them all, I'll get the one. But praise God, God knows everything. And God protected the Lord through Joseph and through those men, and God sent them another direction. To the Christian in the room this Christmas season, always trust the direction God sends you. Man, Pastor, I'm so disappointed. I thought I was going to get that promotion before the end of the year, but I didn't get it. Who cares? Trust the Lord. Pastor, man, I thought this thing was going to come through. We were going to make this money. We were going to do this. God has you. Pastor, my life was supposed to be different. Man, I started the beginning of the year, and I want to get to the end of the year, and I had all these plans and dreams, but it just seems like I've been led another path. Listen, where God guides, God always provides for you. You can trust the Lord. Trust him. Verse 17 says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, a great mourning. Rachel, which is a reference to Jerusalem, weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. You can go on and read that God protected the end of that story, and Herod's life is taken, and the Lord Jesus is able to end up back in Nazareth. And so that's the Christmas story. From the announcement to the placement, to Mary's response, to Joseph's response, to the birth of the child, all the way up to 2 years. Now make your way to John, and I'll be done. John chapter 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John would be the next book after Luke. I just want to read you we read about the first time that Mary and Jesus were together. Let me just read you the last time. Verse number 23, then the soldiers, there were no soldiers at the beginning of the Christmas story, but there are soldiers at the end of it. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts to every soldier a part, also his coat. The coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it'll be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his who, class? His mother. They were together, of course, in the manger. She birthed him. That was her son. She loved him. She knew he would be born to die. And at his deathbed on that cross, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. I love verse number 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After Jesus had cared for his mother, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, would you say those three words with me, please? "It is finished." And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why it's such a special day. That's why it ought to mean the world to you. God became a man. That man was born to die for our sin. That man died upon a cross. He died in my place. They took him off that cross. They put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. So we have some folks in our world. They're called C and E people. Do you know what C and E means? Christmas and Easter people. It means that they go to church two times a year. Christmas and Easter. So if that's you, you came at Christmas and you heard part of the story. You come back at Easter and you will hear the rest of the story. I ask you a question in closing. If you died today, do you know where you would go? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Have you believed upon the Lord? Have you took a moment quietly with the Lord and said, "Lord, I know I was born a sinner. And I know that I've sinned against you. And I know that you love me. And you died and was buried and rose again for me. And I'm sorry for my sin, God. And I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart. And I'm asking him to forgive me of all my sin. And I'm believing upon you and you alone. I'm putting my faith on Jesus. For what you did in my place is sufficient to bring grace to my soul. And I ask you to be my Savior." I pray you've called upon the Lord. If not, today would be a great day to do that. Shall we pray?